And we are going to check in with the University of Alaska Southeast Ketchikan campus library, in a sense. It is a new Ask UAS coming up, and joining us to tell us more about that, we have Michelle Lampton and Gary Freitag. Good morning.
Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Maria.
Thank you very much for joining me. And this, I believe, is this Thursday, correct?
It is. It's this Thursday. It'll be at 6 p.m. We still can't meet in person, but that's going to change this fall. Woohoo! But we will be doing this broadcast live via Facebook Live. I will give some information at the end of this segment about how you can view that and how you can have your questions answered and you don't need a Facebook account. But we are very, very happy to have Professor Freitag coming in on Thursday to talk about plankton. It's titled Plankton, Why Is It Important? I will be doing a live microscopic view of local plankton, and I will let Professor Freitag talk for a little bit here.
Yeah, hi. I'm Gary Freitag. I teach up at the University of Alaska Southeast. I'm a UAF faculty professor, and we're going to be doing this plankton presentation, Why Is It Important? And I'm going to go through several different subjects associated with why it's important. First of all, I'll define it, because there's all kinds of different kinds of plankton. For example, zooplankton and animal plankton is animal plankton, and phytoplankton is plant plankton. But there's all kinds of other categories by size, by how long they live as a plankton and stay as a plankton, those kind of things. And I'll talk about that. And the importance of it, I'll talk a little bit about why phytoplankton, the plant plankton, are so important, because they create a tremendous amount of the world's oxygen. 50 to 70% to 80% of the oxygen we breathe comes from plankton in the ocean. People don't realize that. It's not all land plants that do all the oxygen. I'm going to talk a little bit about how we measure plankton, how we collect it, and how we analyze data associated with it, because there's a lot of implications on fisheries and things like that. And I'll talk about the nets. Then I'm going to talk about individual plankton and how they represent different organisms. Just about everything in the marine ocean starts out as a plankton. So we're gonna see what they look like as plankton, because they don't resemble anything like our adults, like crab and things. Go ahead.
And let me ask a question about that. So is there a general definition, overall definition of what is plankton?
Yes, there is.
So what's the best way to simply describe it?
the simplest way to describe it is they're anything in the ocean that can't swim against currents. In other words, they're driven by the currents. And that eliminates, things like larger fish and stuff like that, but it doesn't eliminate. Everybody always thinks plankton are tiny. That's what they are. They're tiny, but they're not. They're not all tiny. A big giant jellyfish is a plankton, because it can't swim against the current. So we'll talk about that. I'm also going to end up showing some imagery that I've taken of plankton blooms, which we'll talk about, aerial shots and some of the blooms that we've had locally in town. You remember when the water got real green? I'm going to describe that, what we had there. I've even got some images of what those plankton were that caused that. And sometimes the streaks we see in the open ocean or in the, like Clarence Strait, going across Clarence Strait, or that look like long streams of wood and driftwood and things. Plankton can show up in those very heavily, and everybody always thinks it's just currents mixing each other, but a lot of times it's a wind-driven thing. I'm going to talk about that. Just go down the profile, looking at all the different kinds of plankton, what they do and why they're important, how they interface with fisheries and things like that. And eventually we get to the point where we we don't have to look at any more imagery. We've got a microscope. I'm going to go out on Thursday morning and collect plankton with a net and bring it in, and we'll put it under a microscope, and you'll see live plankton swimming around under a microscope that Michelle was very kind and trying to come up with a way to make this all work, and we've got a way that it all works now. So we're going to do that. So we'll look at live plankton and what we're seeing in the water as of Thursday morning.
And I would imagine that there is a lot out there and very varietal.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of it right now is phytoplankton, but that brings all the other plankton in. So we'll have zooplankton as well, and I'll have hopefully collect all that. I've got to use different size nets, not diameter, but mesh size in order to collect some of the phytoplankton are much smaller than zooplankton. So I have a zooplankton net now. So all the cool critters that we'll see are going to be caught with the big net that I have. So we'll do that.
Are you seeing changes over the years as you're looking at plankton, given the warming of the oceans? Are there changes happening that are obvious?
Well, I think there's some species differences. Yeah, there's a little bit of species difference, but in terms of quantity, not a whole lot. The phytoplankton are pretty much more stable. We're seeing more. I'm going to talk a little bit about harmful algal blooms and things like that, which are derived from plankton concentrations. And some of that stuff is getting more toxic in Alaska right now. We see the numbers that are record numbers on a yearly basis now occurring in with the poisons and from prowling shellfish poisoning and things like that. So we're seeing some of that stuff. We also think that there's been there was some larger whales that died at a higher rate, especially up in the Aleutian area, along the Aleutian chain there, that we think is associated with a plankton. So.
And I would imagine those little critters are important in the food chain.
Absolutely, they are. They make the food chain. If there wasn't a plankton, we wouldn't have most of the fish we have. We wouldn't have any of it. They all start out as little tiny fish, and they have to eat something, and they're eating plankton.
And I think I just having talked with Professor Freitag leading up to this too. You know, in terms of talking about the you know, local relevance to people who are fishermen or families who are fishermen, right? I mean, our salmon runs, the quality of our salmon runs are dependent on, yep, on plankton. Like, that's one of the biggest, if not, yep, ultimately the biggest factor. Yep. And going back to your question, Maria, about about climate change is, Professor Freitag had also mentioned that we might be seeing some plankton that don't have the same amount of nutrition.
That's
kind
correct.
Of merging into our waters. They're not invasive species. They just simply, they're not as healthy because they're coming north from where the waters are getting warmer. So they're not getting fed as well. So they don't have the capacity to feed our fish as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a really, really interesting codependent food chain story, I think, that we're going to get on Thursday.
And along with being able to look at things in a microscope and seeing photos, people will also be able to ask questions, correct?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be running the tech, but Kathy Bowling, the library manager, she'll be there with the Facebook account open, and she will be able to read live any questions or significant comments that the audience members have for Professor Freitag, so he can respond live on the spot.
All right, is there anything else you wanted to mention, Gary, about your presentation?
No, it just should be fun. Usually is. I actually do something similar to grade schools. I have in the past, and they get a big kick out of the live stuff. Of course, you guys probably won't get as excited when a plankton eats a worm or something like that on screen, but it's kind of
interesting. Well, we're all big kids at heart.
I think we are. And then, Michelle, give the details of if people wish to attend. How do they go about doing that?
Yeah, so you just need to go to our campus library Facebook page. So the address, if you want to do it the long way, is www.facebook.com/KetchikanCampusLibrary. You can also just Google Ketchikan Campus Library and it will, it'll take you to our page. And you can bookmark it in advance. At 6 o'clock, we'll start the live stream. You don't need a Facebook account unless you want to comment or ask questions. At 6 o'clock, just hit refresh on the page and the live stream will become available as soon as we start streaming. From there, you can just click a button and you can go full screen so that it's taking up your entire screen so that you're not just looking at a teeny little thumbnail type of an image. Yeah, what we would ask is that if people have questions about how to watch it and they're kind of feeling insecure about watching it on Facebook, is to give us a call at 228-4567 before 4 p.m. on Thursday. Things start getting hectic around 5. And currently, we're still open until 5. We'll be open from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday through the end of the month. our hours will change in May. But once we hit like 4 o'clock on Thursday, just for prep, things start getting busy. So give us a call at 228-4567. Swing by and see us. Say hi to us. We are open to the public. You can check out books with your First City Libraries card. And yeah, come enjoy it. You know, Professor Freitag is really interesting to listen to. He's, if you're interested, he's teaching an introductory to oceanography class over the summer session that you can go on our website, get more information and register for. And in fact, he's so distinguished, our university is making him a Professor Emeritus here once he theoretically retires late in the summer. So I think this will be a pleasure and a joy. I think it's going to hit a lot of local interest things for us, from everything from climate change to fishery to just things that are, you know, plain freaking cool. So I've seen the slides. They're pretty cool.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, both of you. Again, this is coming up Thursday night, 6 p.m., and you can go to the Ketchikan Campus Library Facebook page to join in. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having us, Maria.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you. Professor Gary Freitag, Michelle Lampton from the University of Alaska. And it's 15 minutes before 9.